white, bone-colored. Perhaps a dozen spires clawed at the night sky. A few lights flickered in the windows and balconies. No one outside, no patrol. Where is everyone?
Guard shift. They'd planned this around it. There's a small sea door at the bottom. More will be waiting for us there. It's the closest entrance to the lower levels.
I'm assuming she can't winnow us in?
Too many wards to risk the time it'd cost for her to break through them. Rhys might be able to, but we'll meet him at the door on the way out.
My mouth went a bit dry. Over my heart, the book said, "Home, take me home." And indeed, I could feel it. With every foot we flew in, faster and faster, dipping down so the spray from the ocean chilled me to my bones, I could feel it. Ancient, cruel, without allegiance to anyone but itself. The cauldron. They needn't have bothered learning where it was held inside this castle. I had no doubt I'd be drawn right to it. I shuddered.
Easy, Cassian said again.
We swept in toward the base of the cliffs to the sea door before a platform. Moore was waiting, sword out, the door open. Cassian loosed a breath, but Asriel reached her first, landing swiftly and silently, and immediately prowled into the castle to scout the hall ahead. Moore waited for us, her eyes on Cassian as we landed. They didn't speak, but their glance was too long to be anything but casual. I wondered what their training, their honed senses, detected. The passage ahead was dark, silent. Asriel appeared a heartbeat later.
Guards are down.
There was blood on his knife, an ash knife. Az's cold eyes met mine.
Hurry.
I didn't need to focus to track the cauldron to its hiding place. It tugged on my every breath, hauling me to its dark embrace. Any time we reached a crossroads, Cassian and Asriel would branch out, usually returning with bloodied blades, faces grim, silently warning me to hurry. They'd been working these weeks, through whatever sources Asriel had, to get this encounter down to an exact schedule. If I needed more time than they'd allotted, if the cauldron couldn't be moved, it might all be for nothing. But not these deaths. No, those I did not mind at all. These people had hurt Rhys. They'd brought tools with them to incapacitate him. They had sent that legion to wreck and butcher my city. I descended through an ancient dungeon, the stones dark and stained. Moore kept at my side, constantly monitoring the last line of defense. If Cassian and Asriel were hurt, I realized, she was to make sure I got out by whatever means, then return. But there was no one in the dungeon, not that I encountered, once the Illyrians were done with them. They had executed this masterfully. We found another stairwell, leading down, down, down. I pointed, nausea rolling.
There. It's down there.
Cassian took the stairs, Illyrian blade stained with dark blood. Neither Moore nor Asriel seemed to breathe until Cassian's low whistle bounced off the stairwell stones from below. Moore put a hand on my back, and we descended into the dark. Home, the Book of Breathings sighed. Home. Cassian was standing in a round chamber beneath the castle, a ball of phalanite floating above his shoulder. And in the center of the room, atop a small dais, sat the cauldron. Chapter 62. The cauldron was absence and presence. Darkness and whatever the darkness had come from, but not life, not joy or light or hope. It was perhaps the size of a bathtub, forged of dark iron, its three legs, those three legs the king had ransacked those temples to find, crafted like creeping branches covered in thorns. I had never seen something so hideous and alluring. Moore's face had drained of color.
"Hurry," she said to me. "We've got a few minutes."
Asriel scanned the room, the stairs we'd strode down, the cauldron, its legs. I made to approach the dais, but he extended an arm into my path.
"Listen."
So we did. Not words, but a throbbing, like blood pulsed through the room, like the cauldron had a heartbeat.
"Like calls to like."
I moved toward it. Moore was at my back, but didn't stop me as I stepped up onto the dais.
Inside, the cauldron was nothing but inky, swirling black. Perhaps the entire universe had come from it. Azriel and Cassian tensed as I laid a hand on the lip. Pain. Pain and ecstasy and power and weakness flowed into me. Everything that was and wasn't, fire and ice, light and dark, deluge and drought. The map for creation. Reeling back into myself, I readied to read that spell. The paper trembled as I pulled it from my pocket, as my fingers brushed the half of the book inside.
Sweet-tongued liar, lady of many faces.
One hand on half of the book of breathings, the other on the cauldron, I took a step outside myself, a jolt passing through my blood as if I were no more than a lightning rod.
Yes, you see now, Princess of Carrion. You see what you must do.
Feyre? Moore murmured in warning. But my mouth was foreign. My lips might as well have been as far away as Valaris, while the cauldron and the book flowed through me, communing.
The other one, the book hissed. Bring the other one. Let us be joined. Let us be free.
I slid the book from my pocket, tucking it into the crook of my arm as I tugged the second half free.
Lovely girl, beautiful bird. So sweet, so generous.
Together, together, together. Feyre? Moore's voice cut through the song of both halves. Amryn had been wrong. Separate, their power was cleaved, not enough to take on the abyss of the cauldron's might. But together? Yes, together the spell would work when I spoke it. Whole, I would become not a conduit between them, but rather their master. There was no moving the cauldron. It had to be now. Realizing what I was about to do, Moore lunged for me with a curse. Too slow. I laid the second half of the book atop the other. A silent ripple of power hollowed out my ears, buckled my bones, then nothing. From far away, Moore said, "We can't risk—"
"Give her a minute,"
Cassian cut her off. I was the book and the cauldron and sound and silence. I was a living river through which one flowed into the other, eddying and ebbing, over and over, a tide with no beginning or end. The spell, the words. I looked to the paper in my hand, but my eyes did not see, my lips did not move. I was not a tool, not a pawn. I would not be a conduit, not be the lackey of these things. I'd memorized the spell. I would say it, breathe it, think it. From the pit of my memory, the first word formed. I slogged toward it, reaching for that one word that would be a tether back into myself, into who I was. Strong hands tugged me back, wrenching me away. Murky light and moldy stone poured into me, the room spinning as I gasped down breath, finding Azriel shaking me, eyes so wide I could see the white around them. What had happened? What? Steps sounded above. Azriel instantly shoved me behind him, bloodied blade lifting. The movement cleared my head enough to feel something wet and warm trickle down my lip and chin. Blood. My nose had been bleeding. But those steps grew louder, and my friends had their weapons angled as a handsome brown-haired male swaggered down the steps. Human. His ears were round. But his eyes. I knew the color of those eyes. I'd stared at one, encased in crystal, for 3 months.
"Stupid fool," he said to me.
"Jurian," I breathed. Chapter 63. I gauged the distance between my friends and Jurian, weighed my sword against the twin ones crossed over his back. Cassian took a step toward the descending warrior and snarled,
"You."
Jurian snickered.
"Worked your way up the ranks, did you? Congratulations."
I felt him sweep toward us. Like a ripple of night and wrath, Rhys appeared at my side. The book was instantly gone, his movement so slick as he took it from me and tucked it into his own jacket that I barely registered it had happened. But the moment that metal left my hands, mother above, what had happened? I'd failed, failed so completely, been so pathetically overwhelmed by it.
"You look good, Jurian," Rhys said, strolling to Cassian's side,
casually positioning himself between me and the ancient warrior,
"for a corpse. Last time I saw you, Jurian sneered. You were warming Amarantha's sheets.
So you remember, Rhysand mused, even as my rage flared. Interesting.
Jurian's eyes sliced to Moore. Where is Miriam?
She's dead, Moore said flatly. That lie that had been told for 500 years. She and Drakon drowned in the Erythrian Sea.
The impassive face of the Princess of Nightmares.
Liar, Jurian crooned. You were always such a liar, Morrigan.
Asriel growled, the sound unlike any I'd heard from him before.
Jurian ignored him, chest starting to heave.
Where did you take Miriam?
Away from you, Moore breathed. I took her to Prince Drakon. They were mated and married that night you slaughtered Clithia, and she never thought of you again.
Wrath twisted his tan face. Jurian, hero of the human legions, who along the way had turned himself into a monster as awful as those he'd fought.
Rhys reached back to grab my hand. We'd seen enough. I gripped the rim of the cauldron again, willing it to obey, to come with us. I braced for the wind and darkness, only they didn't come.
Moore gripped Cassian and Asriel's hands and stayed still.
Jurian smiled.
Rhysand drawled, hand tightening in mine.
New trick.
Jurian shrugged. I was sent to distract you while he worked his spell.
His smile turned lupine.
You won't leave this castle until he allows you to, or in pieces.
My blood ran cold. Cassian and Asriel crouched into fighting stances, but Rhys cocked his head. I felt his dark power rise and rise, as if he'd splatter Jurian then and there. But nothing happened. Not even a brush of night-flecked wind.
Then there's that, Jurian said. Didn't you remember? Perhaps you forgot. It was a good thing I was there, awake for every moment, Rhysand. She stole his book of spells to take your powers.
Inside me, like a key clicking in a lock, that molten core of power just halted. Whatever tether to it between my mind and soul was snipped. No, squeezed so tight by some invisible hand that nothing could flow. I reached for Rhys's mind, for the bond. I slammed into a hard wall, not of adamant, but a foreign, unfeeling stone.
He made sure, Jurian went on, as I banged against that internal wall, tried to summon my own gifts to no avail. That particular book was returned to him. She didn't know how to use half of the nastier spells. Do you know what it is like to be unable to sleep, to drink, or eat, or breathe, or feel for 500 years? Do you understand what it is like to be constantly awake, forced to watch everything she did?
It had made him insane, tortured his soul until he went insane. That's what the sharp gleam was in his eyes.
It couldn't have been so bad, Rhys said, even as I knew he was unleashing every ounce of will on that spell that contained us, bound us, if you're now working for her master.
A flash of two white teeth.
Your suffering will be long and thorough.
Sounds delightful, Rhys said, now turning us from the room. A silent shout to run. But someone appeared atop the stairs. I knew him, in my bones. The shoulder-length black hair, the ruddy skin, the clothes that edged more toward practicality than finery. He was of surprisingly average height, but muscled like a young man. But his face, which looked perhaps like a human man in his 40s, blandly handsome, to hide the depthless, hateful black eyes that burned there. The King of Highburn said,
"The trap was so easy. I'm honestly a bit disappointed you didn't see it coming."
Faster than any of us could see, Jurian fired a hidden ash bolt through Asriel's chest. Moore screamed. We had no choice but to go with the king. The ash bolt was coated in bloodbane that the King of Highburn claimed flowed where he willed it. If we fought, if we did not come with him upstairs, the poison would shoot to his heart, and with our magic locked down, without the ability to winnow. If I could somehow get to Asriel, give him a mouthful of my blood, but it'd take too long, require too many moving parts. Cassian and Rhys hauled Asriel between them, his blood splattering on the floor behind us as we went up the twisting stairways of the king's castle.
I tried not to step in it as Moore and I followed behind, Jurian at our backs. Moore was shaking, trying hard not to, but shaking as she stared at the protruding end of that arrow, visible between the gap in Asriel's wings. None of us dared strike the King of Highburn where he stalked ahead, leading the way. He'd taken the cauldron with him, vanishing it with a snap of his fingers and a wry look at me. We knew the king wasn't bluffing. It'd take one move on their part for Asriel to die. The guards were out now, and courtiers, high fey and creatures, I didn't know where they fit in, who smiled like we were their next meal. Their eyes were all dead, empty. No furniture, no art, as if this castle were the skeleton of some mighty creature. The throne room doors were open, and I balked. A throne room. The throne room that had honed Amarantha's penchant for public displays of cruelty. Fey lights slithered along the bone-white walls, the windows looking out to the crashing sea far below. The king mounted a dais carved of a single block of dark emerald, his throne assembled from the bones of... I felt the blood drain from my face. Human bones, brown and smooth with age. We stopped before it, Jurian leering at our backs. The throne room doors shut. The king said to no one in particular, "Now that I've upheld my end of the bargain, I expect you to uphold yours." From the shadows near a side door, two figures emerged. I began shaking my head as if I could unsee it, as Lucien and Tamlin stepped into the light. Chapter 64. Rhysand went still as death. Cassian snarled. Hanging between them, Asriel tried and failed to lift his head. But I was staring at Tamlin, at that face I had loved and hated so deeply, as he halted a good 20 feet away from us. He wore his bandolier of knives, Illyrian hunting blades, I realized. His golden hair was cut shorter, his face more gaunt than I'd last seen it, and his green eyes... wide as they scanned me from head to toe, wide as they took in my fighting leathers, the Illyrian sword and knives, the way I stood within my group of friends, my family. He'd been working with the King of Highburn. No, I breathed. But Tamlin dared one more step closer, staring at me as if I were a ghost. Lucien, metal eye whirring, stopped him with a hand on his shoulder. No, I said again, this time louder. What was the cost? Rhysand said softly from my side. I clawed and tore at the wall separating our minds, heaved and pulled against that fist stifling my magic. Tamlin ignored him, looking at the king at last. You have my word. The king smiled. I took a step toward Tamlin. What have you done? The King of Highburn said from his throne. We made a bargain. I give you over, and he agrees to let my forces enter Prithian through his territory, and then use it as a base as we remove that ridiculous wall. I shook my head. Lucien refused to meet the pleading stare I threw his way. You're insane, Cassian hissed. Tamlin held out a hand. Feyre. An order, like I was no better than a summoned dog. I made no movement. I had to get free, had to get that damn power free. You, the king said, pointing a thick finger at me, are a very difficult female to get a hold of. Of course, we've also agreed that you'll work for me once you've been returned home to your husband, but... is it husband-to-be, or husband? I can't remember. Lucien glanced between us all, face paling. Tamlin, he murmured, but Tamlin didn't lower the hand stretched toward me. I'm taking you home. I backed up a step, toward where Rhysand still held Asriel with Cassian. There's that other bit, too. The other thing I wanted, the king went on. Well, Jurian wanted. Two birds with one stone, really. The High Lord of Night dead, and to learn who his friends were. It drove Jurian quite mad, honestly, that you never revealed it during those 50 years. So now you know, Jurian, and now you can do what you please with them. Around me, my friends were tense, taut. Even Asriel was subtly moving a bloodied, scarred hand closer to his blades. His blood pooled at the edge of my boots. I said steadily, clearly, to Tamlin. I'm not going anywhere with you.
You'll say differently, my dear, the king countered, when I complete the final part of my bargain.
Horror coiled in my gut. The king jerked his chin at my left arm. Break that bond between you two. Please, I whispered.
How else is Tamlin to have his bride? He can't very well have a wife who runs off to another male once a month.
Rhys remained silent, though his grip tightened on Asriel. Observing, weighing, sorting through the lock on his power. The thought of that silence between our souls being permanent. My voice cracked as I said to Tamlin, still at the opposite end of the crude half-circle we'd formed before the dais.
Don't let him. I told you that I was fine, that I left.
You weren't well, Tamlin snarled. He used that bond to manipulate you. Why do you think I was gone so often? I was looking for a way to get you free, and you left.
I left because I was going to die in that house.
The King of Highburn clicked his tongue.
Not what you expected, is it?
Tamlin growled at him, but again held out his hand toward me.
Come home with me, now.
No,
Feyre.
An unflinching command. Rhys was barely breathing, barely moving, and I realized it was to keep his scent from becoming apparent. Our scent, our mating bond. Jurian's sword was already out, and he was looking at Mor as if he was going to kill her first. Asriel's blood-drained face twisted with rage as he noticed that stare. Cassian, still holding him upright, took them all in, assessing, readying himself to fight, to defend. I stopped beating at the fist on my power, stroked it gently, lovingly. I am Fey and not Fey, all and none, I told the spell that gripped me. You do not hold me. I am as you are, real and not, little more than gathered wisps of power. You do not hold me.
I'll come with you, I said softly to Tamlin, to Lucien, shifting on his feet. If you leave them alone, let them go.
You do not hold me. Tamlin's face contorted with wrath.
They're monsters. They're...
He didn't finish as he stalked across the floor to grab me, to drag me out of here, then no doubt winnow away.
You do not hold me.
The fist gripping my power relaxed, vanished. Tamlin lunged for me over the few feet that remained, so fast, too fast. I became mist and shadow. I winnowed beyond his reach. The king let out a low laugh as Tamlin stumbled and went sprawling as Rhysand's fist connected with his face. Panting, I retreated right into Rhysand's arms as one looped around my waist, as Asriel's blood on him soaked into my back. Behind us, Mor leaped in to fill the space Rhys had vacated, slinging Asriel's arm over her shoulders. But that wall of hideous stone remained in my mind and still blocked Rhys's own power. Tamlin rose, wiping the blood now trickling from his nose, as he backed to where Lucien held his position with a hand on his sword. But just as Tamlin neared his emissary, he staggered a step. His face went white with rage. And I knew Tamlin understood a moment before the king laughed.
I don't believe it. Your bride left you only to find her mate. The mother has a warped sense of humor, it seems. And what a talent. Tell me, girl, how did you unravel that spell?
I ignored him, but the hatred in Tamlin's eyes made my knees buckle.
I'm sorry, I said, and meant it.
Tamlin's eyes were on Rhysand, his face near feral.
You,
he snarled, the sound more animal than Fey.
What did you do to her?
Behind us, the doors opened and soldiers poured in. Some looked like the Ador. Some looked worse, more and more filling up the room, the exits, armor and weapons clanking. Mor and Cassian, Asriel sagging and heavy-lidded between them, scanned each soldier and weapon, sizing up our best odds of escape. I left them to it as Rhys and I faced Tamlin.
I'm not going with you, I spat at Tamlin. And even if I did, you spineless, stupid fool for selling us out to him. Do you know what he wants to do with that cauldron?
Oh, I'm going to do many, many things with it,
the king said, and the cauldron appeared again between us,
starting now.
Kill him, kill him, kill him. I could not tell if the voice was mine or the cauldron's. I didn't care. I unleashed myself. Talons and wings and shadows were instantly around me, surrounded by water and fire. Then they vanished, stifled as that invisible hand gripped my power again, so hard I gasped. Ah, the king said to me, clicking his tongue.
That. Look at you. A child of all seven courts, like and unlike all. How the cauldron purrs in your presence. Did you plan to use it? Destroy it? With that book, you could do anything you wished.
I didn't say anything. The king shrugged.
You'll tell me soon enough.
I made no bargain with you.
No, but your master did, so you will obey.
Molten rage poured into me. I hissed at Tamlin. If you bring me from here, if you take me from my mate, I will destroy you. I will destroy your court and everything you hold dear. Tamlin's lips thinned, but he said simply,
You don't know what you're talking about.
Lucien cringed. The king jerked his chin to the guards by the side door through which Tamlin and Lucien had appeared.
No, she doesn't.
The doors opened again.
There will be no destroying,
the king went on as people, as women walked through those doors. Four women, four humans, the four remaining queens.
Because, the king said,
the queen's guards falling into rank behind them, hauling something in the core of their formation.
You will find, Feyre Archeron, that it is in your best interest to behave.
The four queens sneered at us with hate in their eyes. Hate, and parted to let their personal guards through. Fear like I had never known entered my heart as the men dragged my sisters, gagged and bound, before the King of Highburn. Chapter 65. This was some new hell, some new level of nightmare. I even went so far as to try to wake myself up. But there they were, in their nightgowns, the silk and lace dirty, torn. Elaine was quietly sobbing, the gag soaked with her tears. Nesta, hair disheveled as if she'd fought like a wildcat, was panting as she took us in, took in the cauldron.
You made a very big mistake,
the king said to Rhysand, my mate's arms banded around me,
the day you went after the book. I had no need of it. I was content to let it lie hidden. But the moment your forces started sniffing around, I decided who better than to be my liaison to the human realm than my newly reborn friend, Jurian. He'd just finished all those months of recovering from the process and longed to see what his former home had become, so he was more than happy to visit the continent for an extended visit.
Indeed, the queens smiled at him, bowed their heads. Rhys's arms tightened in silent warning.
The brave, cunning Jurian, who suffered so badly at the end of the war. Now my ally, here to help me convince these queens to aid in my cause. For a price of his own, of course, but it has no bearing here. And wiser to work with me, my men, than to allow you monsters in the Night Court to rule and attack. Jurian was right to warn their majesties that you'd try to take the book, that you would feed them lies of love and goodness, when he had seen what the High Lord of the Night Court was capable of. The hero of the human forces, reborn as a gesture to the human world of my good faith. I do not wish to invade the continent, but to work with them. My powers ensconced their court from prying eyes, just to show them the benefits.
A smirk at Asriel, who could hardly lift his head to snarl back.
Such impressive attempts to infiltrate their sacred palace, Shadow Singer, and utter proof to their majesties, of course, that your court is not as benevolent as you seem.
Liar, I hissed, and whirled on the queens, daring only a step away from Rhys. They are liars, and if you do not let my sisters go, I will slaughter.
Do you hear the threats? The language they use in the Night Court?
The king said to the mortal queens, their guards now around us in a half-circle.
Slaughter, ultimatums. They wish to end life. I desire to give it.
The eldest queen said to him, refusing to acknowledge me, my words.
Then show us. Prove this gift you mentioned. Rhysand tugged me back against him. He said quietly to the queen,
"You're a fool."
The king cut in.
"Is she? Why submit to old age and ailments when what I offer is so much better?"
He waved a hand toward me.
"Eternal youth. Do you deny the benefits? A mortal queen becomes one who might reign forever. Of course, there are risks. The transition can be difficult, but a strong-willed individual could survive."
The youngest queen, the dark-haired one, smiled slightly. Arrogant youth and bitter old age. Only the two others, the ones who wore white and black, seemed to hesitate, stepping closer to each other and their towering guards. The ancient queen lifted her chin.
"Show us. Demonstrate it can be done, that it is safe."
She had spoken of eternal youth that day, had spat in my face about it, two-faced bitch. The king nodded.
"Why did you think I asked my dear friend Ianthe to see who Feyre Archeron would appreciate having with her for eternity?"
Even as horror filled my ears with roaring silence, I glanced at the queen's, the question no doubt written on my face. The king explained.
"Oh, I asked them first. They deemed it too uncouth to betray two young, misguided women. Ianthe had no such qualms. Consider it my wedding present for you both,"
he added to Tamlin. But Tamlin's face tightened.
"What?"
The king cocked his head, savoring every word.
"I think the High Priestess was waiting until your return to tell you. But didn't you ever ask why she believed I might be able to break the bargain? Why she had so many musings on the idea? So many millennia have the High Priestesses been forced to their knees for the High Lords. And during those years she dwelled in that foreign court. Such an open mind she has. Once we met, once I painted for her a portrait of a Prithian free of High Lords, where the High Priestesses might rule with grace and wisdom. She didn't take much convincing."
I was going to vomit. Tamlin, to his credit, looked like he might too. Lucian's face had slackened.
"She sold out. She sold out Feyre's family. To you."
I had told Ianthe everything about my sisters. She had asked who they were, where they lived. And I had been so stupid, so broken, I had fed her every detail.
"Sold out," the king snorted, "or saved from the shackles of mortal death. Ianthe suggested they were both strong-willed women, like their sister. No doubt they'll survive, and prove to our queens it can be done, if one has the strength."
My heart stopped.
"Don't you?" The king cut me off. "I would suggest bracing yourselves."
And then hell exploded in the hall. Power, white and unending and hideous, barreled into us. All I knew was Rhysand's body covering mine as we were all thrown to the floor, the shout of pain as he took the brunt of the king's power. Cassian twisted, wings flaring wide as he shielded Azrael. His wings. His wings. Cassian's scream as his wings shredded under talons of pure magic was the most horrific sound I'd ever heard. More surged for him, but too late. Rhys was moving in an instant, as if he'd lunge for the king, but power hit us again and again. Rhys slammed to his knees. My sisters were shrieking over their gags, but Elaine's cry, a warning to my right, now exposed, Tamlin ran for me, to grab me at last. I hurled a knife at him as hard as I could. He had to dive to miss it, and he backed away at the second one I had ready, gaping at me, at Rhys, as if he could indeed see the mating bond between us. But I whirled as soldiers pressed in, cutting us off, whirled and saw Cassian and Azrael on the ground, Jurian laughing softly at the blood gushing from Cassian's ravaged wings. Shreds of them remained. I scrambled for him. My blood, it might be enough, be... Moor, on her knees beside Cassian, hurtled for the king with a cry of pure wrath. He sent a punch of power to her. She dodged, a knife angled in her hand, and Azrael cried out in pain. She froze, stopped a foot from the throne. Her knife clattered to the floor. The king rose.
"What a mighty queen you are,"
he breathed, and Moor backed away, step by step.
What a prize, the king said, that black gaze devouring her. Asriel's head lifted from where he was sprawled in his own blood, eyes full of rage and pain as he snarled at the king.
Don't you touch her.
Mor looked at Asriel, and there was real fear there. Fear and something else. She didn't stop moving until she again kneeled beside him and pressed a hand to his wound. Asriel hissed, but covered her bloody fingers with his own. Rhys positioned himself between me and the king as I dropped to my knees before Cassian. I ripped at the leather covering my forearm.
Put the prettier one in first, the king said,
Mor already forgotten. I twisted, only to have the king's guards grab me from behind. Rhys was instantly there, but Asriel shouted, back arching as the king's poison worked its way in.
Please refrain, the king said, from getting any stupid ideas, Rhysand.
He smiled at me.
If any of you interfere, the Shadow Singer dies. Pity about the other brute's wings.
He gave my sisters a mockery of a bow.
Ladies, eternity awaits. Prove to their majesties the cauldron is safe for strong-willed individuals.
I shook my head, unable to breathe, to think a way out of it. Elaine was shaking, sobbing as she was hauled forward, toward the cauldron. Nesta began thrashing against the men that held her. Tamlin said, stop. The king did no such thing. Lucien, beside Tamlin, again put a hand on his sword.
Stop this.
Nesta was bellowing at the guards, at the king, as Elaine yielded step after step toward that cauldron. As the king waved his hand, and liquid filled it to the brim.
No, no.
The queens only watched, stone-faced, and Rhys and Mor, separated from me by those guards, did not dare to even shift a muscle. Tamlin spat at the king.
This is not part of our deal. Stop this, now.
I don't care, the king said simply. Tamlin launched himself at the throne, as if he'd rip him to shreds. That white-hot magic slammed into him, shoving him to the ground, leashing him. Tamlin strained against the collar of light on his neck, around his wrists. His golden power flared, to no avail. I tore at the fist still gripping my own, sliced at it, over and over. Lucien staggered a step forward, as Elaine was gripped between two guards and hoisted up. She began kicking then, weeping while her feet slammed into the sides of the cauldron as if she'd push off it, as if she'd knock it down.
That is enough!
Lucien surged for Elaine, for the cauldron, and the king's power leashed him too. On the ground beside Tamlin, his single eye wide, Lucien had the good sense to look horrified as he glanced between Elaine and the High Lord.
Please,
I begged the king, who motioned Elaine to be shoved into the water.
Please, I will do anything. I will give you anything.
I shot to my feet, stepping away from where Cassian lay prostrate, and looked to the queens.
Please, you do not need proof.
I am proof that it works. Jurian is proof it is safe. The ancient queen said,
You are a thief and a liar. You conspired with our sister. Your punishment should be the same as hers. Consider this a gift instead.
Elaine's foot hit the water, and she screamed, screamed in terror that hit me so deep I began sobbing.
Please, I said to none of them.
Nesta was still fighting, still roaring through her gag.
Elaine, who Nesta would have killed and whored and stolen for. Elaine, who had been gentle and sweet. Elaine, who was to marry a lord's son who hated fairies.
The guards shoved my sister into the cauldron in a single movement. My cry hadn't finished sounding before Elaine's head went under. She did not come up. Nesta screaming was the only sound. Cassian blindly lurched toward it, toward her, moaning in pain. The King of Highburn bowed slightly to the queens.
Behold.
Rhys, a wall of guards still cleaving us, curled his fingers into a fist. But he did not move, as Mor and I did not dare move, not with Asriel's life dangling in the king's grasp. And as if it had been tipped by invisible hands, the cauldron turned on its side. More water than seemed possible dumped out in a cascade, black, smoke-coated water. And Elaine, as if she'd been thrown by a wave, washed onto the stones face down. Her legs were so pale, so delicate, I couldn't remember the last time I'd seen them bare.
The queens pushed forward. Alive. She had to be alive, had to have wanted to live. Elaine sucked in a breath, her fine-boned back rising, her wet nightgown nearly sheer. And as she rose from the ground onto her elbows, the gag in place, as she twisted to look at me, Nesta began roaring again. Pale skin started to glow. Her face had somehow become more beautiful, infinitely beautiful, and her ears. Elaine's ears were now pointed beneath her sodden hair. The queens gasped, and for a moment, all I could think of was my father. What he would do, what he would say, when his most beloved daughter looked at him with a fey face.
"So we can survive,"
the dark-haired youngest breathed, eyes bright. I fell to my knees, the guards not bothering to grab me as I sobbed. What he'd done, what he'd done.
"The Hellcat now, if you'll be so kind," the King of Highburn said.
I whipped my head to Nesta as she went silent. The cauldron righted itself. Cassian again stirred, slumping on the floor, but his hand twitched toward Nesta. Elaine was still shivering on the wet stones, her nightgown shoved up to her thighs, her small breasts fully visible beneath the soaked fabric. Guards snickered. Lucian snarled at the king over the bite of magic in his throat.
"Don't just leave her on the damned floor."
There was a flare of light and a scrape, and then Lucian was stalking toward Elaine, freed of his restraints. Tamlin remained leashed on the ground, a gag of white, iridescent magic in his mouth now, but his eyes were on Lucian as Lucian took off his jacket, kneeling before Elaine. She cringed away from the coat, from him. The guards hauled Nesta toward the cauldron. There were different kinds of torture, I realized. There was the torture that I had endured, that Rhys had endured. And then there was this. The torture that Rhys had worked so hard those 50 years to avoid. The nightmares that haunted him. To be unable to move, to fight, while our loved ones were broken. My eyes met with those of my mate. Agony rippled in that violet stare. Rage and guilt and utter agony. The mirror to my own. Nesta fought every step of the way. She did not make it easy for them. She clawed and kicked and bucked, and it was not enough. And we were not enough to save her. I watched as she was hoisted up. Elaine remained shuddering on the ground, Lucian's coat draped around her. She did not look at the cauldron behind her, not as Nesta's thrashing feet slammed into the water. Cassian stirred again, his shredded wings twitching and spraying blood, his muscles quivering. At Nesta's shouts, her raging, his eyes fluttered open, glazed and unseeing, an answer to some call in his blood, a promise he'd made her. But pain knocked him under again. Nesta was shoved into the water up to her shoulders. She bucked even as the water sprayed. She clawed and screamed her rage, her defiance.
"Put her under,"
the king hissed. The guards, straining, shoved her slender shoulders, her brown gold head, and as they pushed her head down, she thrashed one last time, freeing her long pale arm. Teeth bared, Nesta pointed one finger at the King of Highburn. One finger, a curse and a damning, a promise. And as Nesta's head was forced under the water, as that hand was violently shoved down, the King of Highburn had the good sense to look somewhat unnerved. Dark water lapped for a moment. The surface went flat. I vomited on the floor. The guards at last let Rhysand kneel beside me in the growing pool of Cassian's blood, let him tuck me into him as the cauldron again tilted. Water poured forth, Lucian hoisting Elaine in his arms and out of the way. The bonds on Tamlin vanished, along with the gag. He was instantly on his feet, snarling at the king. Even the fist on my mind lightened to a mere caress, as if he knew he'd won. I didn't care, not as Nesta was sprawled upon the stones. I knew that she was different. From however Elaine had been made, Nesta was different. Even before she took her first breath, I felt it. As if the cauldron, in making her, had been forced to give more than it wanted. As if Nesta had fought even after she went under, and had decided that if she was to be dragged into hell, she was taking that cauldron with her. As if that finger she'd pointed was now a death promise to the King of Highburn. Nesta took a breath, and when I beheld my sister, with her somehow magnified beauty, her ears, when Nesta looked to me, rage, power, cunning. Then it was gone, horror and shock crumpling her face. But she didn't pause, didn't halt. She was free. She was loose. She was on her feet, tripping over her slightly longer, leaner limbs, ripping the gag from her mouth. Nesta slammed into Lucien, grabbing Elaine from his arms, and screamed at him as he fell back, "Get off her!" Elaine's feet slipped against the floor, but Nesta gripped her upright, running her hands over Elaine's face, her shoulders, her hair. "Elaine, Elaine, Elaine," she sobbed. Cassian again stirred, trying to rise, to answer Nesta's voice as she held my sister and cried her name again and again. But Elaine was staring over Nesta's shoulder, at Lucien, whose face she had finally taken in. Dark brown eyes met one eye of russet and one of metal. Nesta was still weeping, still raging, still inspecting Elaine. Lucien's hands slackened at his sides. His voice broke as he whispered to Elaine, "You're my mate." Chapter 66. I didn't let Lucien's declaration sink in. Nesta, however, whirled on him. "She is no such thing," she said, and shoved him again. Lucien didn't move an inch. His face was pale as death as he stared at Elaine. My sister said nothing, the iron ring glinting dully on her finger. The King of Highburn murmured, "Interesting, so very interesting." He turned to the queens. "See, I showed you not once, but twice that it is safe. Who should like to be made first? Perhaps you'll get a handsome Fey Lord as your mate, too." The youngest queen stepped forward, her eyes indeed darting between all the Fey men assembled, as if they were hers for the picking. The king chuckled, "Very well, then." Hate flooded me, so violent I had no control over it, no song in my heart but its war cry. I was going to kill them. I was going to kill all of them. "If you're so willing to hand out bargains," Rhys suddenly said, rising to his feet and tugging me with him, "perhaps I'll make one with you." "Oh?" Rhys shrugged. "No, no more bargains, no more sacrifices, no more giving himself away piece by piece. No more. And if the king refused, if there was nothing to do but watch my friends die, I could not accept it. I could not endure it. Not that. And for Rhys, for the family I'd found, they had not needed me. Not really. Only to nullify the cauldron. I had failed them, just as I had failed my sisters, whose lives I'd now shattered. I thought of that ring waiting for me at home. I thought of the ring on Elaine's finger, from a man who would now likely hunt her down and kill her, if Lucien let her leave at all. I thought of all the things I wanted to paint, and never would. But for them, for my family, both of blood and my own choosing, for my mate, the idea that hit me did not seem so frightening, and so I was not afraid. I dropped to my knees in a spasm, gripping my head as I gnashed my teeth and sobbed, sobbed and panted, pulling at my hair. The fist of that spell didn't have time to seize me again as I exploded past it. Rhys reached for me, but I unleashed my power, a flash of that white pure light, all that could escape with the damper from the king's spell. A flash of the light that was only for Rhys, only because of Rhys. I hoped he understood. It erupted through the room, the gathered force hissing and dropping back. Even Rhys had frozen, the king and queens open-mouthed. My sisters and Lucien had whirled too. But there, deep within day's light, I gleaned it, a purifying clear power. Cursebreaker, spellbreaker. The light wiped through every physical trapping, showing me the snarls of spells and glamours, showing me the way through. I burned brighter, looking, looking. Buried inside the bone walls of the castle, the wards were woven strong. I sent that blinding light flaring once more, a distraction and sleight of hand, as I severed the wards at their ancient arteries. Now, I only had to play my part. The light faded, and I was curled on the floor, head in my hands. Silence. Silence as they all gawked at me. Even Jurian had stopped gloating from where he now leaned against the wall. But my eyes were only on Tamlin as I lowered my hands, gulping down air, and blinked. I looked at the host, and the blood, and the night court, and then finally back at him as I breathed. Tamlin? He didn't move an inch. Beyond him, the king gaped at me. Whether he knew I'd ripped his wards wide open, whether he knew it was intentional, was not my concern, not yet. I blinked again, as if clearing my head. Tamlin? I peered at my hands, the blood, and when I beheld Rhys, when I beheld my grim-faced friends and my drenched immortal sisters, there was nothing but shock and confusion on Rhys's face as I scrambled back from him, away from them, toward Tamlin. Tamlin, I managed to say again. Lucian's eye widened as he stepped between me and Elaine. I whirled on the King of Highburn. Where? I again faced Rhysand. What did you do to me? I breathed, low and guttural, backing toward Tamlin. What did you do? Get them out. Get my sisters out. Play. Please play along. Please. There was no sound, no shield, no glimmer of feeling in our bond. The king's power had blocked it out too thoroughly. There was nothing I could do against it, cursebreaker or no. But Rhys slid his hands into his pockets as he purred. How did you get free? What? Jurian seethed, pushing off the wall and storming toward us. But I turned toward Tamlin and ignored the features and smell and clothes that were all wrong. He watched me warily. Don't let him take me again. Don't let him. Don't. I couldn't keep the sobs from shuddering out, not as the full force of what I was doing hit me. Feyre, Tamlin said softly, and I knew I had won. I sobbed harder. Get my sisters out, I begged Rhys through the silent bond. I ripped the wards open for you, all of you. Get them out. Don't let him take me, I sobbed again. I don't want to go back. And when I looked at Moor, at the tears streaming down her face as she helped Cassian get upright, I knew she realized what I meant. But the tears vanished, became sorrow for Cassian as she turned a hateful, horrified face to Rhysand and spat. What did you do to that girl? Rhys cocked his head. How did you do it, Feyre? There was so much blood on him. One last game. This was one last game we were to play together. I shook my head. The queens had fallen back, their guards forming a wall between us. Tamlin watched me carefully. So did Lucian. So I turned to the king. He was smiling, like he knew. But I said, break the bond. Rhysand went still as death. I stormed to the king, knees barking as I dropped to the floor before his throne. Break the bond. The bargain. The mating bond. He made me do it. Made me swear it. No, Rhysand said. I ignored him, even as my heart broke, even as I knew that he hadn't meant to say it. Do it, I begged the king, even as I silently prayed he wouldn't notice his ruined wards, the door I'd left wide open. I know you can. Just free me. Free me from it. No, Rhysand said. But Tamlin was staring between us. And I looked at him, the High Lord I had once loved, and I breathed. No more. No more death. No more killing. I sobbed through my clenched teeth, made myself look at my sisters. No more. Take me home and let them go. Tell him it's part of the bargain and let them go, but no more. Please. Cassian slowly, every movement pained, stirred enough to look over a shredded wing at me, and in his pain-glazed eyes I saw it, the understanding. The Court of Dreams. I had belonged to a court of dreams and dreamers, and for their dreams, for what they had worked for, sacrificed for, I could do it. Get my sisters out, I said to Rhys one last time, sending it into that stone wall between us. I looked to Tamlin. No more. Those green eyes met mine, and the sorrow and tenderness in them was the most hideous thing I'd ever seen. Take me home, Tamlin said flatly to the king. Let them go. Break her bond, and let's be done with it. Her sisters come with us. You've already crossed too many lines. Jurian began objecting, but the king said, Very well. No, was all Rhys said again,
Tamlin snarled at him. I don't give a shit if she's your mate. I don't give a shit if you think you're entitled to her. She is mine. And one day, I am going to repay every bit of pain she felt, every bit of suffering and despair. One day, perhaps when she decides she wants to end you, I'll be happy to oblige her.
Walk away. Just go. Take my sisters with you.
Rhys was only staring at me.
Don't.
But I backed away, until I hit Tamlin's chest, until his hands, warm and heavy, landed on my shoulders.
Do it,
he said to the king.
No,
Rhys said again, his voice breaking. But the king pointed at me, and I screamed. Tamlin gripped my arms as I screamed and screamed at the pain that tore through my chest, my left arm. Rhysand was on the ground, roaring, and I thought he might have said my name, might have bellowed it as I thrashed and sobbed. I was being shredded. I was dying. I was dying. No, no, I didn't want it. I didn't want to. A crack sounded in my ears, and the world cleaved in two as the bond snapped. Chapter 67. I fainted. When I opened my eyes, mere seconds had passed. Moore was now hauling away Rhys, who was panting on the floor, eyes wild, fingers clenching and unclenching. Tamlin yanked off the glove on my left hand. Pure, bare skin greeted him, no tattoo. I was sobbing and sobbing, and his arms came around me. Every inch of them felt wrong. I nearly gagged on his scent. Moore let go of Rhysand's jacket collar, and he crawled back toward Asriel and Cassian, their blood splashing on his hands, on his neck, as he hauled himself through it. His rasping breaths sliced into me, my soul. The king merely waved a hand at him. You are free to go, Rhysand. Your friend's poison is gone. The wings, on the other, I'm afraid, are a bit of a mess.
Don't fight it. Don't say anything, I begged him as Rhys reached his brothers. Take my sisters. The wards are down.
Silence. So I looked, just once, at Rhysand and Cassian and Moore and Asriel. They were already looking at me, faces bloody and cold and enraged. But beneath them, I knew it was love beneath them. They understood the tears that rolled down my face as I silently said goodbye. Then Moore, swift as an adder, winnowed to Lucien, to my sisters, to show Rhys, I realized, what I'd done, the hole I'd blasted for them to escape. She slammed Lucien away with a palm to the chest, and his roar shook the halls as Moore grabbed my sisters by the arm and vanished. Lucien's bellow was still sounding as Rhys lunged, gripping Asriel and Cassian, and did not even turn toward me as they winnowed out. The king shot to his feet, spewing his wrath at his guards, at Jurian for not grabbing my sisters, demanding to know what had happened to the castle wards. I barely heard him. There was only silence in my head, such silence where there had once been dark laughter and wicked amusement, a wind-blasted wasteland. Lucien was shaking his head, panting, and whirled to us. Get her back, he snarled at Tamlin over the ranting of the king. A mate already going wild to defend what was his. Tamlin ignored him, so I did too. I could barely stand, but I faced the king as he slumped into his throne, gripping the arms so tightly the whites of his knuckles showed.
Thank you,
I breathed, a hand on my chest, the skin so pale, so white.
Thank you,
he merely said to the gathered queens, now a healthy distance away.
Begin.
The queens looked at each other, then their wide-eyed guards, and snaked toward the cauldron, their smiles growing. Wolves circling prey. One of them sniped at another for pushing her. The king murmured something to them all that I didn't bother to hear. Jurian stalked over to Lucien amid the rising squabble, laughing under his breath.
Do you know what Illyrian bastards do to pretty females? You won't have a mate left. At least, not one that's useful to you in any way.
Lucian's answering growl was nothing short of feral. I spat at Jurian's feet.
You can go to hell, you hideous prick.
Tamlin's hands tightened on my shoulders. Lucien spun toward me, and that metal eye whirred and narrowed. Centuries of cultivated reason clicked into place. I was not panicking at my sisters being taken. I said quietly, "We will get her back." But Lucian was watching me warily, too warily. I said to Tamlin, "Take me home." But the king cut in over the bickering of the queens, "Where is it?" I preferred the amused, arrogant voice to the flat, brutal one that sliced through the hall. You were to wield the Book of Breathings, the king said. I could feel it in here, with... The entire castle shuddered as he realized I had not been holding it in my jacket. I just said to him, "Your mistake." His nostrils flared. Even the sea far below seemed to recoil in terror at the wrath that whitened his ruddy face, but he blinked and it was gone. He said tightly to Tamlin, "When the book is retrieved, I expect your presence here." Power, smelling of lilac and cedar and the first bits of green, swirled around me, readying us to winnow away. Through the wards, they had no inkling I'd smashed apart. So I said to the king, and Jurian, and the queens assembled, already at the lip of the cauldron and hissing over who would go in first, "I will light your pyres myself for what you did to my sisters." Then we were gone. Chapter 68, Rhysand. I slammed into the floor of the townhouse, and Amryn was instantly there, hands on Cassian's wings, swearing at the damage, then at the hole in Asriel's chest. Even her healing couldn't fix both. No, we'd need a real healer for each of them, and fast, because if Cassian lost those wings, I knew he'd prefer death. Any Illyrian would.
"Where is she?"
Amryn demanded.
"Where is she? Where is she? Where is she?"
"Get the book out of here," I said, dumping the pieces onto the ground. I hated the touch of them, their madness and despair and joy. Amryn ignored the order. More hadn't appeared, dropping off or hiding Nesta and Elaine wherever she deemed safest.
"Where is she?"
Amryn said again, pressing a hand into Cassian's ravaged back. I knew she didn't mean more. As if my thoughts had summoned her, my cousin appeared, panting, haggard. She dropped to the floor before Asriel, her blood-caked hands shaking as she ripped the arrow free of his chest, blood showering the carpet. She shoved her fingers over the wound, light flaring as her power knit bone and flesh and vein together.
"Where is she?"
Amryn snapped one more time. I couldn't bring myself to say the words. So Mor said them for me as she knelt over Asriel, both of my brothers mercifully unconscious.
"Tamlin offered passage through his lands and our heads on platters to the king in exchange for trapping Feyre, breaking her bond, and getting to bring her back to the Spring Court. But Ianthe betrayed Tamlin, told the king where to find Feyre's sisters, so the king had Feyre's sisters brought with the queens to prove he could make them immortal. He put them in the cauldron. We could do nothing as they were turned. He had us by the balls."
Those quicksilver eyes shot to me.
"Rhysand,"
I managed to say. We were out of options, and Feyre knew it. So she pretended to free herself from the control Tamlin thought I'd kept on her mind. Pretended that she hated us, and told him she'd go home, but only if the killing stopped, if we went free.
"And the bond?"
Amryn breathed, Cassian's blood shining on her hands as she slowed its dribbling. Mor said,
"She asked the king to break the bond. He obliged."
I thought I might be dying, thought my chest might actually be cleaved in two.
"That's impossible,"
Amryn said.
"That sort of bond cannot be broken."
"The king said he could do it."
"The king is a fool,"
Amryn barked.
"That sort of bond cannot be broken."
"No, it can't," I said. They both looked at me. I cleared my head, my shattering heart, breaking for what my mate had done, sacrificed for me and my family, for her sisters, because she hadn't thought she was essential, even after all she had done. The king broke the bargain between us. Hard to do, but he couldn't tell that it wasn't the mating bond. Mor started.
Does Feyre know?
"Yes," I breathed, "and now my mate is in our enemy's hands."
"Go get her,"
Amryn hissed,
"right now."
"No," I said, and hated the word.
They gaped at me, and I wanted to roar at the sight of the blood coating them, at my unconscious and suffering brothers on the carpet before them. But I managed to say to my cousin, "Weren't you listening to what Feyre said to him? She promised to destroy him from within." Moore's face paled, her magic flaring on Azrael's chest.
"She's going into that house to take him down. To take them all down."
I nodded. "She is now a spy, with a direct line to me. What the King of Highburn does, where he goes, what his plans are, she will know and report back. For between us, faint and soft, hidden so none might find it, between us lay a whisper of color and joy and light and shadow, a whisper of her, our bond."
"She's your mate," Amryn bit at me. "Not your spy. Go get her."
"She is my mate and my spy," I said too quietly, "and she is the High Lady of the Night Court."
"What?"
Moore whispered. I caressed a mental finger down that bond now hidden deep, deep within us, and said, "If they had removed her other glove, they would have seen a second tattoo on her right arm, the twin to the other. Inked last night, when we crept out, found a priestess, and I swore her in as my High Lady."
Not consort,
Amryn blurted, blinking. I hadn't seen her surprised in centuries. "Not consort, not wife. Feyre is High Lady of the Night Court. My equal in every way. She would wear my crown, sit on a throne beside mine. Never sidelined, never designated to breeding and parties and child-rearing. My queen." As if in answer, a glimmer of love shuddered down the bond. I clamped down on the relief that threatened to shatter any calm I feigned having.
"You mean to tell me,"
Moore breathed,
"that my High Lady is now surrounded by enemies?"
A lethal sort of calm crept over her tear-stained face. "I mean to tell you," I said, watching the blood clot on Cassian's wings with Amryn's tending. Beneath Moore's own hands, Azrael's bleeding at last eased, enough to keep them alive until the healer got here. "I mean to tell you," I said again, my power building and rubbing itself against my skin, my bones, desperate to be unleashed upon the world, "that your High Lady made a sacrifice for her court, and we will move when the time is right. Perhaps Lucien being Elaine's mate would help. Somehow, I'd find a way. And then, I'd assist my mate in ripping the Spring Court, Ianthe, those mortal queens, and the King of Highburn to shreds. Slowly."
"Until then,"
Amryn demanded,
"what of the cauldron of the book?"
"Until then," I said, staring toward the door as if I might see her walk through it, laughing and vibrant and beautiful, "we go to war."
Chapter 69, Feyre. Tamlin landed us in the gravel of the front drive. I'd forgotten how quiet it was here, how small, empty. Spring bloomed, the air gentle and scented with roses. Still lovely, but there were the front doors he'd sealed me behind. There was the window I'd banged on, trying to get out. A pretty, rose-covered prison. But I smiled, head throbbing, and said through my tears, "I thought I'd never see it again." Tamlin was just staring at me, as if not quite believing it.
"I thought you would never either."
"And you sold us out. Sold out every innocent in this land for that, all so you could have me back." Love. Love was a balm as much as it was a poison. But it was love that burned in my chest, right alongside the bond that the King of Highburn hadn't so much as touched, because he hadn't known how deep and far he'd have to delve to cleave it, to cleave me and Rhysand apart. It had hurt. Hurt like hell to have the bargain between us ended, and Rhys had done his job perfectly, his horror flawless. We had always been so good at playing together. I had not doubted him, had not said anything but yes when he'd taken me down to the temple the night before, and I'd sworn my vows to him, to Valaris, to the Night Court. And now, a gentle, loving stroke down that bond, concealed beneath that wasteland where the bargain had been. I sent a glimmer of feeling back down the line, wishing I could touch him, hold him, laugh with him. But I kept those thoughts clear from my face, kept anything but quiet relief from it, as I leaned into Tamlin, sighing.
It feels as if some of it was a dream, or a nightmare, but I remembered you. And when I saw you there today, I started clawing at it, fighting, because I knew it might be my only chance, and...
How did you break free of his control? Lucian said flatly from behind us. Tamlin gave him a warning growl. I'd forgotten he was there, my sister's mate. The mother, I decided, did have a sense of humor.
I wanted it. I don't know how, I just wanted to break free of him. So I did.
We stared each other down, but Tamlin brushed a thumb over my shoulder. Are you hurt? I tried not to bristle. I knew what he meant, that he thought Rhysand would do anything like that to anyone.
I don't know, I stammered. I don't remember those things.
Lucian's metal eye narrowed, as if he could sense the lie. But I looked up at Tamlin and brushed my hand over his mouth, my bare, empty skin.
You're real, I said. You freed me.
It was an effort not to turn my hands into claws and rip out his eyes. Traitor, liar, murderer.
You freed yourself, Tamlin breathed. He gestured to the house. Rest, and then we'll talk. I need to find Ianthe and make some things very, very clear.
I want to be a part of it this time, I said, halting when he tried to herd me back into that beautiful prison. No more shutting me out. No more guards, please. I have so much to tell you about them, bits and pieces, but I can help. We can get my sisters back. Let me help.
Help lead you in the wrong direction. Help bring you and your court to your knees, and take down Jurian and those conniving, traitorous queens, and then tear Ianthe into tiny, tiny pieces, and bury them in a pit no one can find. Tamlin scanned my face, and finally nodded. We'll start over. Do things differently. When you were gone, I realized I'd been wrong. So wrong, Feyre. And I'm sorry.
Too late. Too damned late.
But I rested my head on his arm as he slipped it around me and led me toward the house.
It doesn't matter. I'm home now.
Forever, he promised.
Forever,
I parroted, glancing behind to where Lucian stood in the gravel drive, his gaze on me, face hard, as if he'd seen through every lie, as if he knew of the second tattoo beneath my glove and the glamour I now kept on it, as if he knew that they had let a fox into a chicken coop, and he could do nothing. Not unless he never wanted to see his mate, Elaine, again. I gave Lucian a sweet, sleepy smile. So our game began. We hit the sweeping marble stairs to the front doors of the manor. And so, Tamlin unwittingly led the High Lady of the Night Court into the heart of his territory.
The End. Read by Elizabeth Evans. We hope you have enjoyed this production of A Court of Mist and Fury by Sarah J. Maas. Recorded books are available wherever audiobooks are sold. Thank you for listening to Recorded Books.